You are listening to an American Free Press podcast. Hello and welcome. My guest today has written a book called Frontman, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed. In it, he says, at the top exist extremely wealthy Jewish financiers such as the Rothschilds and George Soros, who've set his course in motion. To carry out this plan are mid-level Jewish operatives, Rahm Emanuel, Axelrod, Bernanke, Summers, Katz, etc., along with hardline Marxist sympathizers. Lastly, at the street level, are a host of black nationalists, such as Van Jones and Reverend Wright, whose rhetoric is aggressively anti-white. Toss in a very pro-Obama, Jewish-controlled media, and it's ultimately clear how he reached the Oval Office at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Victor Thorne, thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's great to be on today, Dave, and I appreciate this time here on the American Free Press website. And, yeah, the name of the book is called Frontman, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed. And I know we're going to get into this book extensively today, cover what's contained in these chapters. But right. I'd also like to let everybody know that since they're on the American Free Press website, that they should really consider subscribing to the newspaper, because I was just going through the last couple issues this morning, and the amount of information in these papers that isn't available anywhere else is incredible. And you know, just the most recent issue that came out has Jim Tucker's extensive coverage of the Bilderberg meeting that just happened over in Spain. And this is the only kind of reporting you'll find about this is in the American Free Press. You'll find stuff on the internet,
right,
but it's Jim Tucker, the legend that's gone for a couple of decades now and tracked down the Bilderbergs. And you won't find this anywhere but in the American Free Press. And there's so much other information, like the outrage over Israel's attack on the flotilla going to Gaza, the Tea Party candidates, independents that are trying to overthrow or take office from all of these incumbents, how Rahm Emanuel is sabotaging Barack Obama, a full health care supplement in there, the health dangers of the BP oil spill, and there's so much more: vote fraud, the truth about what's going on with the U.S.-Mexican border, how Poland arrested a Mossad agent, and on and on and on. And it's interesting, Dave, because I'm working on an article right now about how the government wants to reinvent journalism. And that's, those words should really send some terror through people, because we've seen how the government has reinvented the auto industry and the insurance companies and bailed out the banks. And really what this is another way of saying that they want to bail out the newspapers. And the reason why is that nobody reads the mainstream media newspapers anymore, because right, instead of them being a watchdog, what they've become is this lapdog. And right, with the election of Barack Obama, we saw that, you know, directly how they rolled over and played dead in light of how much damning information surrounds Barack Obama. So, what it really is the government wants to come in and subsidize the newspapers, but I can guarantee you that if this ever happens, none of that money will ever come to the American Free Press. And the reason why is because this newspaper tells the truth, right, about what's going on, and it's the last real newspaper in America. So, there's a lot of material on the American Free Press website, but really you have to subscribe to get the whole package, the letters to the editor and all the various news items. So, anyone that's there, I would strongly suggest that they subscribe to this newspaper, because this is one of the last vestiges of truth that still exists in America.
Right, so, absolutely.
I just wanted to put that on there as a little intro to this show, because, it's vitally important that we get this kind of information
right
out there to the American people. They can go to the American Free Press website. There's still so much more information in the newspaper that doesn't appear on the site. So it's in everyone's best interest to subscribe to it and keep this going, because it's a great paper, and I'm very proud to be able to write for it.
Right, and the number is 888 888-699-NEWS. So that's 888-699-NEWS. And give that number a call. And I believe that you can even get a sample issue of the American Free Press, can't you?
Oh, I'm sure they would, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for apprising our listeners of that, Victor. Now, the book Frontman, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed, I'll tell you, after reading this, I'm looking at this guy in a whole new light. And there are so many things in here that really every American should know. Now, we don't have time to talk about all of those issues, but I do want to go back to what I said in the introduction, where you had stated that at the top of his power base exist extremely wealthy Jewish financiers such as the Rothschilds and George Soros. Let's start with those people. Wasn't it Soros who pretty much picked Obama?
Yeah, this was back in, I believe, 2004, that right when Barack Obama became a senator, that he was summoned to the personal home of George Soros and given his own little hands-on interview. And we know that George Soros is really a front man, a direct front man for the Bilderbergs. So when you have someone like George Soros summoning you to their own personal home, you know that they have designs for you in the future.
Right.
And there's a chapter in the book that not only covers all of the Bilderberg influences in the Obama cabinet right now, not to mention the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, but how many of these individuals that have surrounded Obama for his entire life are Jewish. And it's interesting because on December 12th of 2008, this is a little over a month after Obama was elected, there's a man named Abner Mikva, who was a member of the Clinton White House, and he's also a bigwig Chicago lawyer.
Right.
And he came out with a quote that said that Obama was America's first Jewish president. Now, this is kind of maybe tongue-in-cheek because, you know, Bill Clinton used to say he was America's first black president.
Right.
But, you know, for them to say that he's America's first Jewish president, and that really lays the foundation to see how many people are Jewish surrounding him. And there's such a preponderance, it's so overwhelming that it can't be denied. And I know when we spoke in the week or so leading up to this interview, Dave, you told me that you're reading another book about Obama. And I asked, well, you know, does he cover this subject in the book? And as you're going through it, you told me, it's like, obviously not. And this is the big secret. This is the thing that's been so concealed and so suppressed by the mainstream media,
right,
is that, you know, he's completely surrounded by this cabal of people that run the world. And it really even goes back to his roots of the people that are you know, some of his strongest base, like, you know, from the 1960s, these radicals. And you have a woman named Marilyn Katz, who was one of the founders of the SDS, which is the Students for Democratic Society. She's Jewish. If you look at the two guys in the Weather Underground that he's linked to, William Ayers, who played a pivotal role by not only ghostwriting Obama's autobiography, but also they're the ones that opened up the doors in Chicago, him and his father, Tom Ayers, mm-hmm, and really paved the way for Obama. Well, he's married to Bernadine Dorn, who's Jewish, and there's also another co-founder of the Weather Underground, Jeff Jones, who's married to Eleanor Stein, who's Jewish. And Jeff Jones is interesting because he's the man who actually was fundamental in writing the stimulus bill from last year.
Wow.
And another guy then from Chicago notoriety is Saul Alinsky, who's Jewish, and he's the man who wrote Rules for Radicals, which,
right,
is really the playbook for this 60s radical type of protest movement. And it's also played a big role for Hillary Clinton, and she actually did one of her college theses on Saul Alinsky. And these are all, you know, Chicago people, so...
Right. Right, and their theory, of course, is to conduct their revolution by getting inside of the host, if you want to call it the host, and boring from the inside out and destroying.
Yeah, that's precisely how they do it. And that's what they did with Barack Obama, because we have to remember that this guy who's now the President of the United States, who sits in the Oval Office, the length of his experience, actual experiences as a community organizer. He doesn't have any other legitimate experience doing anything. Right. Some people say, well, he was the editor of the Harvard Law Review. Well, he had never published an article ever in his life, and yet, mysteriously, he becomes the editor of the most esteemed college law newspaper, legal newspaper in America. You know, he was placed in that position. And, you know, now that we have this British Petroleum, this oil spill catastrophe in the Gulf of Mexico, we see now the incompetence at the very top, because one of the analogies I use is that if somebody was diagnosed as having brain cancer and they needed an operation to save their life, and so they're laying on the operating table, and I come in there to perform the surgery. Well, everybody knows that I'm completely not equipped to do this. I can't perform brain surgery because I've never done this. I have no experience in the medical profession. Well, the same applies to Barack Obama. He's never been in the military. He's never had even a real job in his life. He's never had any executive experience. Yet here's the man who's supposed to be the hands-on commander-in-chief of the United States of America. And when we see that the utter incompetency of not only this Gulf oil spill, but everything else, you know, people should be extremely alarmed that this man was picked out of obscurity. And we have to remember that even, you know, 5 years ago, in the year 2005, nobody had ever even heard of Barack Obama. Yet now he sits in there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the President of the United States. And this is such a phenomenon of how this happened,
right,
that this book, Frontman, really explains the behind-the-scenes machinations of how he got to where he is right now.
His records, his official records, his college transcripts, they're nowhere to be found. Isn't that right?
Oh, not only his college records, but his employment history, of course, his birth certificate, and so many other things that, you know, when you read through this book, you realize that he's the greatest mystery man that's ever existed. I mean, even his health records, everything is shrouded in secrecy. And, you know, like I mentioned before, his little stint at the Harvard Law Review, there's people that claim that he never even attended Columbia University in the early 1980s when he said he was a student there. Wayne Allen Root, who was a vice presidential candidate in 2008, was in the same graduating class in the same major,
right,
as Barack Obama. And he said that he interviewed about 400 people in that graduating class in that same curriculum that would have taken the same classes as Obama supposedly did.
Right.
And not one of these individuals remembered Obama even being there. Now, considering that he's the President of the United States, you would think somebody would remember him being there.
Right.
Yet nobody does. And, you know, what I've wrote in subsequent articles, and there's a lot of evidence coming out now to confirm this, is that Barack Obama was actually selected and brought into the CIA during his early college years, and maybe even while he was still in Hawaii, and that he went over and traveled to Afghanistan during the Russian-Afghanistan war. So there's so much mystery surrounding him that he's like a specter that nobody can get a finger on. And I don't know about anybody else, but that worries me considerably that we have the President of the United States and we can't even confirm where he was born.
Right.
I mean, that's the extent of this. It's so outrageous.
Right. And even the mystery goes back, of course, to his own parents, because nobody attended their own wedding. And it's just...
Well, absolutely. And that's you know, one of the final articles in the book is who is Barack Obama's real father. And, you know, and maybe we can touch upon that a little later in the interview. But
sure,
that's really intriguing, because as the book proceeds, it really reaches a crescendo then,
right,
towards the end, that, you know, Barack Obama claims that his father was this, you know, this African man, Barack Obama Sr., this Kenyan, when in actuality, I don't think that there's any possibility at all that he was. And it was something, you know, much more Much more furtive than that, where we have a man named Frank Marshall Davis, and we'll get into that,
Right,
but
yeah, let's get
really
into that later, yeah, because that's something that I'm sure the listeners would like to hear about the president, the mysteries even surrounding his parents. So the Rothschilds, George Soros, Bilderbergs, they set this whole thing in motion, you say, and then to carry out his plan are mid-level Jewish operatives. I mentioned before Emanuel Axelrod, Bernanke, Summers, Katz, etc. Now, what's the significance of these people being Jewish?
Well, when you consider that 2% of the American population is Jewish, yet this preponderance of people surrounding him, and let's go over it a little bit. His senior advisor is David Axelrod, who's Jewish. Obama was introduced to him by a woman named Betty Lou Saltzman, who is Jewish. Axelrod's two primary mentors in Chicago were Don Rose and David Cantor, who were Jewish and also members of the American Communist Party. The financiers behind Obama are George Soros, of course. There's Benjamin Bernanke, Lawrence Summers, both of whom are Jewish. And then we have other guys like Paul Volcker, Tim Geithner, Robert Rubin, all Jewish. The primary operative or thug in charge is Rahm Emanuel, who's been involved in all of these, pay-per-play scandals and Joe Sestak and offering bribes to candidates not to run. And Rahm Emanuel, of course, is a dual Israeli American citizen.
Whose father was a terrorist, right?
Right, exactly. And there's so much surrounding Rahm Emanuel and this whole mess that there's another part of the book that there's a the Jewish billionaire backers of Barack Obama through his political career. They're called the Gang of Four, and this includes George Soros, Peter Lewis, Steven Bing, and a man named Herbert Sandler, all of whom are Jewish. Now, again, we'll go back to 2% of the American populace is Jewish, and yet look at all these names coming up. And another thing we have to wonder is, considering the huge amount of coverage of the 2008 presidential election that extended for, almost 2 years from front to back, that why haven't the American public heard about any of this? Plus, all of the other books that have been written about Barack Obama, why aren't they including this information? This is the only book in existence that covers this angle, which is so vitally important. If we look right now, even in his cabinet now, SEIU, which plays a huge role, this is the Service Workers Union, and we know how instrumental the unions are to not only this whole Chicago thug criminal mindset, but to Barack Obama and all the people in charge of SEIU, including Andy Stern, Anna Berger, and Gerald Hudson. All of them are Jewish, and Andy Stern specifically, during the first year of the Obama presidency, he visited the Oval Office and had meetings with Obama more than any other single individual. So, here again is another Jewish man. Look, let's look at the legislators that were surrounding Obama to get through not only these bailouts and stimulus bills, but also health care. One of the most instrumental was Barney Frank, who's head of the House and Banking Industry, Jewish. Then if we go, and then Joe Biden, the vice president. At one point, he said, "I am a Zionist. Even
Right.
though I'm not Jewish, I'm a Zionist." John Podesta, who's this ultra-liberal who's pushing forward all of this legislation, Jewish. Eric Holder, the attorney general, probably the worst attorney general in the history of this country, he's a man who, back right after the Clintons bailed out of office, he's a man who pardoned Mark Rich, who was this Jewish racketeer. Cass Sunstein, Jewish. Kenneth Feinberg, who was the Pazar for the 9/11 victims who they basically bought off with blood money. That was just announced that he is the man who's going to be in charge of the BP money to be dispersed down in the Gulf states. Kenneth Feinberg, Jewish.
Right.
Every single one of these individuals that I mentioned is Jewish.
And the
Now,
autos are too.
and there's so many others that
Right.
I haven't even had a chance that are all, of course, listed in the book. So, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who was Barack Obama's spiritual mentor, who Obama sat in his church for 20 years. Well, after the heat got on Obama, because people realized the stuff that Jeremiah Wright was saying in his church,
right,
that Jeremiah Wright came out and complained. He says, and this is an exact quote, he says, "Them Jews aren't going to let him talk to me." So even Jeremiah Wright realized that these are the people who effectively control and direct the movements of Barack Obama. And, you know, considering what an empty suit he is and how little real-world experience he has doing anything, I mean, this guy is a greenhorn beyond any president we've ever had. I mean, like George W. Bush, of course, was no genius. He was effectively an idiot. But at least he, like, tried to own a baseball team and owned a little oil company, and he was the governor of Texas. So he had at least a little bit of real-world experience. And I'm not sticking up for George Bush by any means, because, you know, I blame George Bush and the Republicans for creating this situation, for giving us Barack Obama, because, you know, I said for years before the 2008 election that what's going to happen is Bush and company, Bush Cheney and all his cronies, are going to just drive this country so far into the ground and beat us down so extensively that when the 2008 election comes, that basically Lucifer could have ran as a Democrat and he was going to win. And that's what happened. So, you know, George Bush and his Republican Congress has a lot of blame for this, because they in essence had the same exact power structure as Barack Obama and the Democrats had now. The Republicans owned the Oval Office in both houses of Congress. And instead of doing something effective and you know, trying to save this country, resuscitate us, what they did was drive us further into the ground. And it's basically the same thing now that Obama and company are doing. And I have, you know, suspicions that Obama was basically put in place to be a one-term Jimmy Carter president, basically a patsy between one neocon administration and the next one that follows. And, you know, considering how much disgust the American public feels right now with Obama and, you know, shoving his health care down our throats, and now he wants cap and trade, that, you know, if this is part of the script that's been written, Obama is certainly filling his role of becoming a one-term president.
Right. So he comes, well, not him, but the people who put him in office, they use him rather quickly to put through a new deal, hand out all the bailout money, and we have our government completely reshaped and reworked in one administration. And then he's gone, and who cares what happens after that, because all these laws are on the books, right?
Exactly. That's precisely what I believe is happening. And you know, this book really maps out this strategy, because even while Obama was a senator, he only pushed forward one bit of legislation, and that was the Global Poverty Act, which in essence was, it would have levied a UN tax on the American citizens to pay for, you know, third world countries. So if we look at his unremarkable career in Congress, this is the only stamp on a bill that he put his name on, the Global Poverty Act, which basically made the United States more so even a ward of the United Nations than it is right now. And, you know, right there, that should have put up some red flags to the American public that we realize that Barack Obama is another globalist, just like the Bushes and the Clintons were before him, and even, you know, Jimmy Carter, who was handpicked by Zbigniew Brzezinski and
right.
David Rockefeller from the newly formed at that time Trilateral Commission. And it's really the same phenomenon, even that after we had 8 years of Richard Nixon and Watergate and Vietnam and all the deception, that here comes Rockefeller and Brzezinski that handpicked this unknown, this governor, this peanut farmer from Georgia.
Right.
And out of nowhere, he comes and he has the big smile, and they put him in office, and he's a one-term president between Republican administrations. He had 8 years of Richard Nixon, well, you know, 6 years, and then the little tail end with Gerald Ford. But then you had 8 years of Ronald Reagan and 4 years of George Bush Sr., which I effectively say that George Bush Sr. was the president for all 12 of those years, especially when it comes to the covert operations like, you know, Iran-Contra and MENA and everything. That, you know, is this what we're seeing right now is another Jimmy Carter?
All right, and didn't Brzezinski, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish that thought.
Yeah, well, and Brzezinski, yeah, was instrumental in handpicking and grooming Barack Obama. And of course, Brzezinski taught at Columbia University, where supposedly Barack Obama went.
Right. Even though there's no evidence that he ever did.
Right. And Brzezinski is instrumental in the Carter administration. And he was the man who years later bragged about how he lured the Russians into invading Afghanistan, which became the Soviet Union's Vietnam, of course, and really led to the downfall and the collapse of the Soviet Union. So, you know, when we see these very same players where, you know, Brzezinski handpicked Jimmy Carter, and now Brzezinski and George Soros are the same people that handpick Barack Obama, it really has to become worrisome because, you know, this obviously isn't anything that we're seeing in the mainstream media, but even in the books and some of the videos that are out there about Barack Obama, they're covering the typical criticisms that, you know, that he's a Muslim or he's a communist or a socialist, which, you know, all of these things we have to consider on one level.
Right.
But it's really, it seems like to me, like minor league compared to the real players behind the scenes.
Right.
And that was the real focus of this book when compiling it, is to get, you know, to the crux, like how did Barack Obama, this unknown, how did he become president of the United States? And now we see all of the players laid out before us.
Right. And you talk about the mainstream media in this, in the introduction that I read, where you say toss in a very pro-Obama Jewish-controlled media. On page 65 of your book, New York Times confessed in May of 2009, they confessed after the election, to spiking a pre-election story that connected Acorn to Obama, and the article had been described as game-changing. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, that's a startling revelation by the New York Times, because after Obama became the president, we learned about all the corruption of this organization called Acorn, which actually had its roots in Bill and Hillary's Arkansas. But what the New York Times effectively admitted was that there was a story connecting Obama to this extremely corrupt institution called Acorn, and they had a chance to run this story before the November 2008 election. And what they did was deliberately spike the story so that the American public wouldn't realize how closely he was tied to not only Acorn, but then to these unions. And what they were in essence saying was that we rigged the election by suppressing a very vital news story. And, you know, we at the American Free Press, we covered extensively the Acorn angle to Barack Obama. And, you know, if the New York Times would have ran this story prior to the election, and you know, as they said, this would have been a game changer. Well, not only would our newspaper have ran with it, but think of how much controversy surrounded Acorn, and they had to be run out of business because there was so much controversy. And it seems like, you know, with Obama, that, you know, like with Tony Redzko, with Reverend Wright, with Acorn, that, you know, he uses these people and then tosses them away when the heat gets too high around them. And it really shows how much in the bag the mainstream media was for Barack Obama. And what we have to really conclude from all of this is that John McCain, who's one of the creepiest, one of the worst legislators and senators this country has ever seen, going all the way back to his father, who was instrumental in the cover-up of the USS Liberty attack, that we have to conclude that this election was in the bag before it ever happened. And, you know, I made a prediction in 2005 or 2006 that here's what was going to happen, was that the Republicans were going to put up this old, boring, milquetoast, generic candidate,
right,
which you couldn't have a better description of John McCain than that, against, and at that time in 2005, 2006, everybody thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be the candidate. But, you know, nonetheless, whoever the Democrats put up, the Republicans basically put up another Bob Dole, you know, that
right,
had no,
sure,
no charisma, no energy to him. And the election was still relatively close if you go by the, you know, not by the state count, but by the, you know, the numbers count, that if the New York Times would have ran a story like this or any number of stories that are contained in this book, Barack Obama wouldn't be the president today.
Right,
now,
but,
not that's not saying that we'd be better any better off with John McCain, because, like I said, this guy's a total Zionist and, you know, completely in the bag for Israel. So really what we had in 2008 was a choice between arsenic and strychnine. We had two poisons,
right,
two heads of the same snake.
Right.
And, you know, we really didn't have any feasible choice that would have helped America move forward.
Opposite sides of the same wood and nickel.
Exactly.
Yeah, but why, I mean, why would the New York Times purposefully destroy this story? Why would they not run? Isn't their job to educate people?
Well, it's in theory, but I think anyone, especially people listening to this show right now, comes to the conclusion that like I said in the opening minutes to this interview, was that the media right now, the mainstream media, isn't a watchdog, it's a lapdog. And Mike Piper, in one of his books, I can't remember if it's The New Jerusalem or one of his books, did an extensive study on ownership of the media.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcome can't be denied, that every single major media institute in this country has Jewish ownership and control of it. So if we put that into context of all of the people that I mentioned earlier surrounding Barack Obama that are Jewish, plus now a Jewish media, we have to start scratching our heads and saying, what's the agenda behind this? And, you know, if we look at Rahm Emanuel, who is, you know, Obama's right-hand man now, who's, you know, one of the big Chicago thugs from that crime network.
Right.
And Rahm Emanuel is the guy who escorted Barack Obama to AIPAC and, you know, had him do his little dog and pony show with AIPAC, who Jim Traficant, who writes for the American Free Press, says is the most powerful lobbying organization in Washington, D.C. right now. So when you have Rahm Emanuel, whose father was a terrorist, Rahm Emanuel, who volunteered for the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, during the first Iraq War, U.S.-Iraq War, and here's the man parading him before the most powerful lobby in Washington, D.C., all of this evidence becomes overwhelming. If this was a court of law right now, if this was a trial, we would have to say guilty that these powerful Jewish Zionist forces are the ones who put Barack Obama into office. Yet we hear nothing about it. And not only, or very little about it, I should say, from the quote-unquote patriot movement, who seem to avoid this issue at all costs, and, of course, the mainstream media, who won't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Right, so some folks would say, well, okay, so they're Jewish, big deal, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that they have loyalty towards something else other than the United States, is that right?
Well, absolutely, and, you know, with Rahm Emanuel or any of these individuals, with the Rothschild family at the top of the control pyramid all the way down, where do their loyalties lie? Is it with America or is it with Israel? And, you know, if you go to the Rothschilds all the way back to the mid to late 1800s, when they formed the Zionist movement, that they had a goal in mind was that they were going to create this nation in the Middle East called Israel. And there's very strong arguments that World War I and World War II were deliberately staged to ultimately create this newfound nation, this new state in the Middle East called Israel. And since the Rothschilds were instrumental in having this happen and financing these wars, financing both sides of it, that we know where their loyalties lie. And since now we can trace the money and the power behind Barack Obama all the way to the top, to the Rothschilds and Soros and all of these bankers that we mentioned earlier, like Summers and Volcker and Geithner and on and on and on, that where are the loyalties of the presidency of the United States right now? Is it to make America a stronger, better nation, or to drive us into the ground, to continue this process that started with George Bush and on back through these other presidents? And, you know, so if anyone asks, why is this important? Well, there's the answer right now. And when we look around us and see the economic collapse, some people call it a depression that we're living through right now, this catastrophe in the Gulf right now, that which there's no end in sight, and we can trace British Petroleum. They're a direct subsidiary of the Rothschild family. On and on and on. Like, I don't know how we can't be addressing this issue right now. Yet it's avoided, as I said, not only in the mainstream media, but by the majority of broadcasters in Patriot Radio. They won't touch it either. So, you know, we have to ask why this is such a taboo subject. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is the book. This is the one book that addresses and exposes this taboo subject. And, you know, I go back again to Mike Piper when my trilogy on Bill and Hillary came out, and he said this is the definitive work. I mean, there's hundreds of books that have been written about the Clintons. He said this is the definitive book or books on the Clintons. And, you know, if I can forward that sentiment now to the Obama book, I'd say that this is the definitive work showing where this man came from and who's behind him. You know, like the Wizard of Oz, when they pull back the curtain and
right.
we see the truth finally revealed. Well, this book is the one that pulls back the curtain.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying in the beginning of the interview, that after I read it, I really got not a chill, but a different feeling about this guy, so much so that I know he spoke this past week about the oil spill, and I had no desire to look at the guy. The book really opened my eyes to him and who's behind him. And, of course, it's called Front Man, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed by Victor Thorne. And it's published by American Free Press. And you can go to AmericanFreePress.net for the book. Or, if you don't have access to the Internet or you'd rather deal with a live human being, you can call 888-699-NEWS. That's 888-699-6397 to get your copy of this fine book, Frontman, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed. It's a great book, Victor Thorne. Thanks so much for joining us today, and hope to talk to you in the future. I'd really love to talk to you about that Hillary and Bill Clinton trilogy that you wrote.
Well, I definitely look forward to it. And you know, as we close, there's so much more in there about, you know, Reverend Wright. There's a chapter on Larry Sinclair, who revealed his intimate encounters with Obama in November of 1999, the sex and cocaine bouts they had. William Ayers from the Weather Underground, Rahm Emanuel. There's chapters in there about Blago and healthcare, and so much more. It's some of the, you know, the death surrounding this administration
right.
now, that's reminiscent of the Clinton body count and Acorn, and even a chapter on Joe Biden and the, you know, 9/11 and Dick Cheney's bunker, and on and on and on. And it's, you know, not only an informative book, but also a titillating book, because it gives a lot of these, you know, or exposes a lot of these skeletons in the closet that I know Obama and his cohorts would rather keep secret. And You know, this book is, again, the one that really reveals them and shows the American public that we have a man in there in the office right now that we should be extremely worried about, because, you know, not only economically, but, you know, with war again on the horizon, is this a man who we want to be leading our nation? And even with BP down there in the oil spill, and when he gave his speech on Tuesday and he used all these war analogies, you know, this is a war now and we have to go into battle against this. And everybody down in New Orleans and that Gulf region said, if this was a war, we would already be occupied by now. We would have already lost the battle if Barack
right.
Obama was. So, you know, is this the kind of man that, you know, with Israel set to invade Iran and on, you know, it's very, very troublesome.
It is troublesome. And
yeah,
and what about some predictions? What do you think is going to happen with this guy? Do you predict
well,
the
right
turn?
Well, right now, we're going to have to see, first of all, how much discontent there is with the American public, the Tea Party movement, and with the midterm elections this November. That's going to be a big indicator of how much, you know, again, dissent there is among the people. And the second thing that I think we really have to look at and take a wait-and-see approach to is what's happening in the Gulf right now. And, you know, there's been so much deceit from not only BP, but also our own government on how much oil is being released. And, you know, if this oil thing is spewing out 2.5 million gallons a day into the Gulf, if we take that over a 3 or 4 month period until the middle of August when they say they're supposedly going to have it fixed, what we're going to end up seeing is about a quarter of a billion gallons of oil in the Gulf. And, you know, the effect that's going to have on that area, and I believe the entire country, like, we can't really even fathom it right now.
Right.
So these are going to be the big indicators. And also, you know, there's worldwide outrage at the greatest terrorist nation in the world, which is Israel,
mm-hmm.
and the only country backing them, regrettably, is the United States. And we know they're itching for this battle with Iran. And after their recent attack on this flotilla, the Goldstone report came out, their assassination of this Hamas leader in Dubai. I mean, like, the entire world is waking up to Israeli terrorism and all of these atrocities and crimes against humanity, and yet the only country that's still there in their hip pocket is America. And, you know, it would be great if Barack Obama would come out and denounce them outright and just say, no, we're no longer going to support them. Like, we realize finally what this nation is all about.
Right.
Yet, if we go back again to this book and to the outline of it given in this interview, that when he's surrounded by so many Jewish financiers and people in the media and Zionists, that it's very difficult for him to speak out when he's surrounded, when his inner circle is comprised of all these Jewish interests.
And perhaps he doesn't even want to speak out.
That's another thing. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, Joe Biden, he comes out and admits that he's a Zionist, but really Barack Obama, his heart lies with the Muslims, and, you know, maybe he isn't really, doesn't have as much of an allegiance to Israel as, you know, as it's purported. But, you know, could this just be simply more, nothing more than a good cop, bad cop routine, where, you know, they can't so overtly come out? And, you know, I really think that a lot of the info in the, especially like conservative talk radio about Obama being a Muslim and so forth, that this could just be another cover story too. To, you know, what better way to have to cover up someone being a front man for Israel than to float all these stories about him being a Muslim and he was born in a Muslim country and on and on and on. So, you know, it's definitely too much to cover in this interview, but it's all these things should be considered by the American public, and, you know, realize that a lot of what we're being given is nothing more than a cover story. That the you know, the media wizards behind the scenes are spinning these soap operas and these dramas for us to latch on to, so that we're diverted and we chase red herrings and so forth. And, you know, what I did in this book was get beyond all the red herrings and get right to the crux of who's behind him and what their agenda is.
Right. Like you say in the beginning of chapter 17, the real story behind the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
This book is the real story behind the story. Frontman, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed by Victor Thorne, published, of course, by American Free Press. And go to AmericanFreePress.net's website, pick up a copy, or call them at 888-699-NEWS and order your copy. It's a great book, Victor. Thank you again for coming on and explaining all this to the listeners, because this is something that everybody should have. Frontman, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed.
Well, thank you so much for your time and for everyone there at the American Free Press, and I look forward to doing more of these in the future.
Me too. Thanks a lot, Victor.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.